Nanawateng was a chief in a small village. He was very cruel and hard-hearted, and all the people in the village avoided him as much as possible. Well, one morning, Nanawateng woke up and noticed that a small bump was forming on his neck. He called for a boy named Kojo to look at his neck and tell him what it was. "It is a sore growing on your neck," Kojo said. Well, Nanawateng did not want to hear that there was a sore growing on his neck, so he beat Kojo with a stick. Kojo ran out of the chief's presence crying and went to tell all the boys in the village what had happened. By the afternoon, it was difficult for Nanawateng to move his neck freely. He called for another boy named Pakisi to come and tell him what was on his neck. Pakisi looked at Nanawateng's neck and said, "Oh, it's nothing. Don't worry. All is well." Well, Nanawateng was so happy to hear that all was well and it was nothing on his neck that he gave Pakisi 50 pesewas. Pakisi took the 50 pesewas and was so excited and ran and told all the boys in the village what had happened. And from that time on, whenever Nanawateng asked someone to look at his neck, they did not tell him the truth. "Oh, it's nothing. All is well. Don't worry," they all said. No one told the chief that a very dangerous boil was developing on his neck. By the evening of the third day, Nanawateng felt feverish. He called for some medicine, but it was already too late. The infection had spread over his whole body and infected and poisoned his blood. By the morning of the fourth day, Nanawateng was dead. Sometimes it's hard for us human beings to accept the truth. It's difficult to listen to things that we don't like or that are unpleasant to hear. We may even become angry and blame the messenger who brings the message that is uncomfortable. Nanawateng did not want to hear the truth, but listening to the truth is the first step to finding a solution. And hiding from the truth can lead to disaster and even death. Truth can be uncomfortable for all of us, yet when we embrace truth, it leads to wisdom, and wisdom is the only way you can foolproof your life. That's the powerful lesson in this morning's sermon. No matter who you are or what you know, none of us have all the wisdom and knowledge we need to safeguard our lives. We all need someone who can see what we don't see to tell us the truth. So this morning, I want to encourage you to open up your hearts and open up your minds to the Spirit of God and to the Word of Truth so that you can discover how to foolproof your life. But before we go further, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you that your voice is always speaking to us. Your truth never leaves us. If only we will open up our hearts and hear it. So we pray this morning, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Everything that would obstruct our hearing, everything that would block our hearts from receiving, we pray that you'll remove it today. Soften our hearts and open our ears and give us understanding and enlightenment by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, even if the truth is uncomfortable or unpleasant, give us the grace today to say, "Yes, I will listen, I will learn, and I will change." Right now, I submit everyone in this room to your hands. Lord, I bind every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. In the name of Jesus, I loose the Spirit of the living God to move in our hearts, to give us grace to listen and understanding and power to change. That at the end of the day, your name will be glorified and we will be transformed. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. I want to invite you to pray with me for a moment. If you would, just put your hand on your chest and say after me, "Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. If you're joining us online or watching this on a DVD, we say a big welcome to you as well. We pray that the power and the presence of the Lord will touch you right where you are. If you're ever in Accra, please join us here at Agape House. A warm welcome awaits you. You picked a great Sunday to come to Agape House because we're continuing our sermon series called Foolproof. And as you know, we're on a journey to discover the truth that will help us protect our lives from regret, from heartbreak, and from mistakes. Now, to help us discover the truth this morning, we printed sermon notes. They look like this, and you'll find your free copy inside your bulletin. So I want to invite you to take it out right now and follow along with me as we discover three steps to foolproof your decisions. There at the top of the notes, and also on the screen behind me, you'll find our scripture text found in Ephesians 5, 15, and 17. We've been reading this every week through this series, and I want us to do that once again. I want you to help me preach this morning, all right? Let's read it out loud. Read it like you mean it. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. We began this series in the first week of the month of February, this month. And we began by learning as we studied the scripture that we've got to be very careful how we live. In fact, the Bible tells us that choices have consequences and wisdom has rewards. So if you're going to foolproof your life, we have to make choices in our lives based on wisdom. And to help us do that, we've developed a question that we can ask ourselves about every invitation, every decision, every opportunity, and every relationship. And the question is, what's the wise thing to do? Come on, say it with me. What's the wise thing to do? And specifically, we've been learning that in a more specific way in light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my current hopes and future hopes and dreams. What's the wise thing to do? Now, 2 weeks ago, we applied this question to our romantic relationships as we heard the sermon, Don't Flirt, Flee. Then last week, we learned to apply this question to our time and our schedule. For the Bible says we only have one life, so you've got to count your days, make your days count, and count them one by one so that you can choose what matters most today and achieve your destiny tomorrow. Today, we're going to apply this question, and we're going to look at wisdom as it relates to another important area of our lives, our decisions. But the fact is, if we're honest this morning, we would all have to admit that at some point in time in our lives, we've made a bad decision. I mean, if you're like me, you've got at least one in your life. Anybody here ever made a bad decision? Come on, raise your hand. Thank you, and the rest of you are lying. I know that. We all have things we regret. We all have weekends we wish we could redo, or even months or years of our lives we wish we could relive. Perhaps it was an investment you wish you hadn't made, or an invitation you wish you hadn't honored, or a relationship you wish you had stayed out of, or an event you wish you'd never attended. And looking back, when we see that we made an error and things went wrong, we usually say, "How could I have been so blind? I should have seen it coming." Anybody ever say that to yourself? I should have seen it coming. So tell your neighbor, I should have seen it coming. Reminds me of the young apprentice pastor at Agape House that was preaching his very first sermon. And he was one of these guys that thought it's unspiritual to prepare. He thought the Holy Ghost will just download and I'll just deliver and it will be wonderful. So he didn't prepare anything. He got up in the pulpit, but when he looked out at the crowd, he got nervous and his legs started to shake and he forgot everything. He couldn't think of anything to say. So he looked at the people and the people looked at him. He looked at the people looked at him. And he thought, I don't know what to do. They said, I know, I'll name it and claim it. I'll declare and confess, and God will give me something. So he lifted his hand, and he hit the pulpit and said, it's coming. And nothing happened. He looked at the people, they looked at him, he looked at the people, they looked at him. He couldn't think of anything to say. So he tried it again, a little bit more desperate. He lifted his hand, he pounded the pulpit and said, it's coming. Nothing happened. He looked at the people, they looked at him, he looked at the people, they looked at him. He was starting to panic, he was sweating and shaking. He gave it one last try, he said, I'm going to name it and claim it. He lifted his hand, he shouted, it's coming! And he hit the pulpit with such force that a piece of the pulpit broke off and flew across the room and hit an old lady in the front row. Oh! The poor apprentice pastor was so embarrassed. He rushed down. He said, Mama, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. She said, that's okay, son. I should have moved. After all, you told me 3 times it was coming. Just tell your neighbor, I should have seen it coming. I should have seen it coming. You should have seen that joke coming. We all have times in our lives when we say, I should have seen it coming. I should have paid attention to what she was telling me. I would have been able to tell she was withdrawing from me. I should have paid attention to the warning signs. I would have known he was going to betray me. I should have been more careful with my money. I should have seen it coming. See, the reason why we say I should have seen it coming is because there are warning signs. There's evidence that points to danger ahead. But often we choose to ignore that evidence. We don't pay attention to the truth because it's uncomfortable or unpleasant or inconvenient. And we think as if we ignore the truth, it will simply make the truth disappear. But you can't make the truth disappear by ignoring it. It will only come and hit you in the head. And here's the interesting thing about realizing that you should have seen it coming. If the warning signs were there for you to see it coming, then it's most likely someone else saw it coming as well. Someone in your life, a family member, a friend, a parent, a pastor, even a boss saw what was coming. And they would have told you if you had asked them for help. Or maybe they did tell you, but you just wouldn't listen. For the truth is, we all always need someone who can see what we don't see. We need to learn to listen. And that's your first truth today. If you would, take out your pen and fill in the blanks. In order to foolproof your decisions, you have to learn to listen. Just take your pen and fill in, learn and listen. See, if you want to foolproof your decisions, if you want to safeguard your life and make the right decisions, you have to learn to listen. For none of us have all the knowledge or all the wisdom we need to foolproof our lives. Even the most wise man among us needs help with decisions because too often our decisions are obstructed by our own emotions. We are biased towards the truth. That's why Proverbs chapter 14, 12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. There's something that looks good to us, but our emotions have clouded our vision and we don't see properly. You cannot trust in yourself alone to make wise decisions because personal decisions are emotional by nature. And an emotionally charged environment is never ideal for wise decision making. Our emotions make the obvious less obvious. Have you ever noticed that you often know what your friends should do when they themselves are confused by a situation? You may not be good at managing your own money, but you can tell all your roommates how to spend their money. In fact, if I was in control of your money, you would be rich. I would pay your tithe, I would give offerings, I would save your money, and I would not allow you to spend any of your money on something that was worthless or needless or that you didn't really need. But when it comes to my own life, I like nice clothes, and I tend to buy too many of them because my emotions and desires affect my decisions. You may be terrible at relationships, but you know exactly what your girlfriend should do with hers. You may have a problem in your marriage, but you can tell your sister how to handle her husband. Reminds me of the time many years ago when I was a bachelor, a long, long time ago, and I was flying on an airplane, and I remember there was this young couple with two little kids on the airplane, and the kids were crying and misbehaving and screaming and shouting, and I remember thinking to myself, that is a bad dad. He needs parenting class. If I were him, I'd just tell the kid, shut up, sit down. I would take control over the situation. And I remember looking at him like, you loser. Fast forward 15 years, and I'm the dad with two small screaming kids on the airplane. And I'm walking down the aisle of the plane to find my seat, and my little one is crying, and the other one is pulling me. And I pass a young bachelor in his seat. And he's looking at me like, you are a bad dad. Just take control. And I'm confused and I'm panicked and I don't know what to do. And I know what he's thinking. If it were me, we can easily see what someone else should do. But when it comes to our own decisions, we're confused by our emotions. That's been our pattern throughout our lives. Many years ago when my son was a little boy, my son Kofi turned 18 yesterday. He doesn't want me to say that. Happy birthday, John. God bless you. 18 years in Ghana, from Corlebou all the way to East Legon. God bless you. Amen. He was born at Corlebou 18 years ago. God bless you. Happy birthday, Johnny. But when my son was a little boy, you know, we would go into a supermarket like ShopRite or MaxMart, and they've got a section of toys for kids, and most of it's a lot of plastic junk, you know, made in Tema or something. I don't know. And my son gets a hold of one of these little plastic toys, and his eyes light up, and he says, "Hey, Daddy, I want it." And I know that plastic toy will not survive the trip home. It's going to break. He's going to lose it. It's not worth the money. It's junk. He says, "Daddy, I want it. Buy it for me." I said, "No." It was easy for me to say no because my emotions were not involved at all. I didn't care about the toy. But he's got this shiny plastic toy in his hands, and his heart is racing, and he wants that toy. And he says, "Daddy, I want it." He's screaming in the supermarket. Another dad moment. Hallelujah. But I see what he doesn't see. And he can't see because he feels emotion. And that's how it is for all of us. You never outgrow the temptation to base your decisions on your feelings. And right now, some of you this morning have something in your hand and you want it really bad. And your emotions are screaming, "I want it." And your parents and your friends or your pastor are looking at you and thinking, "Doesn't he see how bad that is? Doesn't she know what type of guy she's dating? Doesn't he know what girls like that will do to him?" That's the lesson we learn from the tragic true story of Yanni Makoa from Sumenakese, Eastern Region. The 26-year-old lady had been dating a young man named Yao Darko for the past 5 years, even though her parents were against the relationship. They repeatedly told her, "Yao Darko is not a good person. Be careful." They saw danger signs in the young man, but Yanni Makoa only saw love, gifts, romance. 2 weeks ago on Valentine's Day, Darko asked Yao to go out with him. Her parents attempted to prevent their daughter from going on the date, but she insisted and went with him anyway. Apparently, he spent about 500 Ghana cedis on Valentine's, and at night when they came home, he wanted his reward. He wanted to have sex with Yao, but she refused. So Darko went into a fit of rage, took a knife, and stabbed her repeatedly before fleeing. The 26-year-old Yanni Makoa died on the way to the hospital, Valentine's Day 2016, Sumenakese, Eastern Region. See, when our emotions are stirred, we can hardly see straight. Emotions fog our judgment. Lust, anger, insecurity, jealousy, arrogance. They blind our eyes and twist our hearts. And it's next to impossible to hear the voice of wisdom when your emotions are raging. In fact, most of the time, when your emotions are involved, you don't even want to hear wisdom. So what's the wise thing to do when emotions are huge and appetites are inflamed? You've got to listen. That's what the wisest man who ever lived told us. Many thousands of years ago, there was a new king in Israel. His name was Solomon, the son of King David. He was just a teenager when he took over the throne, but one day early in his reign, God appeared to him in a dream, and God said, "I will give you one thing, whatever you want: long life, wealth, health." And Solomon said, "Lord, give me wisdom." And God honored him and answered his prayer and gave Solomon more wisdom than any other man who's ever lived. People used to come from all over the world, from Africa and Asia and Europe, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. You would think that since Solomon was so wise, he didn't need to listen to anybody. Yet surprisingly, the wisest man in the world said more about seeking counsel and advice than any other biblical writer. The man who needed counsel the least spoke and wrote about it the most. Why? Why did the wisest man who needed the least advice talk about it the most? Because the wisest man in the world knew this: there are going to be situations when you are not going to see trouble coming, but somebody else will. And if you're wise enough to bring someone else into your decision-making process, you will gain the clarity you need to foolproof your life. Listen to what King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. In other words, Solomon is telling us here that you can learn wisdom. He can teach it to you. If you listen and obey, you can learn from the experiences that others have had and learn to make the right choices and stay on straight paths. Have you ever heard the phrase, experience is the best teacher? Well, there's a lot of truth in that. We can learn a lot from our experiences, both good and bad. If we make a bad decision, we can learn from it and do better. It reminds me of the time when a young man met a wise man, and the young man said to the wise man, where do good decisions come from? And the wise man said, good decisions come from experience. And the young man said, where does experience come from? And the wise man said, from bad decisions. And there's a lot of truth in that because we learn from our mistakes. But here's the problem. If the only way you can learn wisdom is from bad decisions, then you're going to go through a life of trouble, hardship, and heartbreak to get it. If the only way you can learn to have wisdom is to make mistakes, you're going to pass through a lot of hurt and pain to get wisdom. So here's the good news this morning. You can learn from someone else's experience. You don't have to suffer through bad decisions to learn wisdom. Others who know more than you can teach you wisdom. And here's the challenge for all those of you today who are in this room who are 30 years of age or younger. You may be educated, you may be intelligent, you may be clever, but you lack experience. You have not yet experienced the painful consequences of too much debt or too many divorces or too much addiction. And here's the thing you need to understand. You can learn from someone else's experience. You can get wisdom by learning to listen. And if you listen, you'll hear wise men tell you this morning, don't trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. Just take your pen and fill the blanks, most and moment. Don't trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. See, what we want most is a long-lasting, happy marriage. What we want in the moment is an exciting one-night stand. But the exciting one-night stand is the enemy of the long-lasting, happy marriage, because study after study has proven that couples that cohabitate together before marriage are less happy after marriage. It's proven that couples who sleep together before marriage have a higher divorce rate than those who stay pure. You don't need to pass through the pain and learn that lesson the hard way. If you listen, you can learn from the wise. What you want most is a successful career. What you want in the moment is to steal from your working place so you can buy a new iPhone. But stealing from the working place is the enemy of a successful career. If you're caught, you're finished. So you can learn from the wise that don't trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. See, wisdom allows you to get it right the first time. And for those of us who are older, there are so many times in our lives we wish we could go back and get it right. But you can know what experienced people know. You can have wisdom like them if you learn to listen. You can be both young and wise, but you have to seek wisdom. Proverbs 9:9 says, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. If you instruct the wise man, he's going to learn and gain. He won't get offended. He'll receive and listen. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. For the fact is, wise people recognize what they don't know and listen to those who do. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So turn your notes over to page 2 and consider this. You have to learn to listen. But how will that happen? Well, that's our second truth today. In order to listen, you have to unplug your ears. Just take your pen and fill in the blanks. Listen and unplug and ears. You have to remove the barriers that will prevent you from hearing the truth. Last week, I walked into my kitchen at my house here in East Lagoon. I was looking for my son, Kofi, and I wanted him to do something for me. Fortunately, when I went into the kitchen, he was there, but he had his back turned towards me. So I said, John, I want your help. Can you come and help me? No response. I said it a little bit louder with a little bit more fatherly authority. I said, John, Yo, John, what up? Hey, John, it's your old man. I need you. No response. I'm thinking, the guy just turned 18 and he's ignoring me already. This is terrible. I'm starting to get a little irritated, so I shouted, hey, John! He turned around, and I noticed that he had earphones in his ears. And he looked at me with a surprised look, and he pulled them out and said, were you calling me? Yeah. I hate those things, you know. He had something blocking his ears. In order to hear, he had to unplug them. But here's the truth we all need to accept today. Most often, the things that plug our ears and prevent us from hearing are not physical obstacles, they are attitudes. See, it's possible to hear physically, but still fail to understand. You can listen with your ears, but not grasp the truth in your heart. That's why Jesus said in Mark 4, 23 and 24, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. You may be able to hear me this morning, but do you understand the truth? Do you understand the message being spoken? Reminds me of the two friends, Kofi and Kwesi. They went out hunting one day, and all of a sudden, Kwesi fell down. He stopped breathing, and his eyes rolled back in his head. Kofi panicked. He didn't know what to do. He whipped out his mobile phone and called the doctor in town. He said, doctor, doctor, my friend Kwesi has fallen to the ground. He's not breathing. What should I do? The doctor said, take it easy, Kofi. Just calm down. I can help. Just listen to me and follow my instructions. First of all, is he dead or alive? I don't know, Kofi said. Okay, well, the doctor said, the first thing you have to do is make sure if he's dead. Okay, Kofi said. There was a slight pause. Then all of a sudden, the doctor heard a loud shotgun blast. Bang! Kofi got back on the phone and said, okay, doctor, I made sure he was dead. Now what? See, you can hear the words. Some of you are just getting it. God bless you. It's coming by slow freight today. You can hear the words, but do you understand the message? So what are some attitudes that block us from understanding the truth? Well, first of all, oftentimes we don't listen to advice because we already know what the wise man will say and we don't want to hear it. In fact, this describes the majority of people in society today, and sadly, even the majority of people in churches. We run after any prophet who will tell us what we want to hear and give us a good word, whether it's from God or not. We hear whatever we want to hear from anyone who will speak it just to satisfy our own desires. Listen to what God says about the church in 2016 from 2 Timothy 4. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen, everybody say listen, to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. And today in the church of Jesus Christ, you can't correct anybody. You can't discipline anybody. If you do, they'll get offended and leave the church. If you try to rebuke a Christian for his own good to help him save his soul, he'd rather get offended and go somewhere where there is itch his ears and give him a false prophecy that will puff him up. May God help us in Jesus' name. Excuse me, but why would God speak to you through some prophet from Kumasi when you are ignoring his son from heaven? I thought you'd say amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. Secondly, we often don't listen to advice because we think it's personal. None of your business. We say, don't judge me. But friends, never forget that private decisions have public consequences. The results of your personal decisions are very rarely limited to your person. The results of your private decision don't stay private. What we defend as nobody else's business often becomes everybody's business. So let me ask you a question this morning. Is there even one person in your life who can speak truth to you without getting offended? Is there even one pastor, one deacon, one godly man or woman who you will listen to when they tell you the uncomfortable truth? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. And one of the reasons you're failing in some areas of life is because you won't listen. Let me ask you another question. Is there even one person in your life who can tell you no and you'll obey? Is there even one godly person who can discipline you without you getting angry and offended? Because Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept discipline. Ooh. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. See, friends, in reality, the reason we have plugged ears is because of pride. We're proud. We think we know it all. We think we don't need help. And we end up failing because of pride. Here's the problem. Success leaves us with an inflated view of our own intelligence. Because we did well in one area, we think we can handle all areas. And I'm speaking to the successful, wealthy, prominent, influential people in our crowd today as much as anybody. So please listen carefully. Success in one area makes us think we're good at all areas. The more successful you are somewhere, the smarter you think you are everywhere. There's a man running for president in the United States who's just like that. He was successful in business. Now he thinks he knows everything. That's what happened to a king in Judah named King Amaziah. King Amaziah was the king in Judah. And one day he went out to battle against a small nation named Edom. And because it was a small nation, he easily conquered them, and his heart got lifted up with pride. He said, I've conquered Edom. I can conquer anybody. My army is the best. So he turned his attention to attack Israel, a bigger nation nearby. But listen to what God said in 2 Kings 14. You have indeed defeated Edom, and you are proud of it. But be content with your victory and stay at home. Why stir up trouble that will only bring disaster on you and the people of Judah? But Amaziah refused to listen. And he went out against Israel and he was defeated. He was captured and taken prisoner. His capital city was damaged and his nation was oppressed. And the number one cause for unwise decisions in his life and in your life is pride. Fill in the blank with the word pride and turn your notes over to page 3. For you see, the same thing happens to us over and over again. Some people are good at making money, but they're bad at making friends. Some people are good at making profits, but they're bad at making love. Some people are good at making business, but bad at making decisions. And just because you've succeeded in one arena of your life doesn't mean that you are an expert in everything. You deceive yourself into thinking you can do it on your own. But success in business does not equal success in life. You have to learn to listen. Too many of us are too proud to hear and too proud to heed. We don't seek advice and we don't listen when it's given. We think we know it all. We think we can handle it all. We think our way is the best way and anybody else should take a hike on the highway. And the sad thing is pride not only keeps you from listening and hearing, it keeps you from seeking help when you fail. Because the opposite of success and failure also prevents us from listening to good advice. Ladies, can I clue you in on something this morning? Gentlemen, you could just check out for a minute here and I'll call you back in a minute. Ladies, this is why you're having problems with your husband or your boyfriend. You see a failure, a weakness, or an inadequacy in him, and you think, I'm going to help him out. So you buy a book, or you buy a CD, or you sign him up for a marriage seminar. Then you come to him and say, you know, I've noticed that you're not very good at marriage. Or I've noticed you're not very good at raising kids, so I'm going to help you get better. I bought you this book, and I've underlined all the passages you need. I bought you this CD. I've signed us up for a marriage seminar, so if you'll read this, you'll do better at what you're not doing good at. And you know what happens? The guy shuts down. He doesn't touch the book. He won't go to the seminar, and he resists you and starts to pull away from you because anything that reminds a man of his inadequacy is something that he will resist. Even the solution to my inadequacy. A man may be successful at sales. He'll be excited to go to a sales meeting, but he's bad at marriage and he won't go to the marriage seminar because his inadequacy makes him resist advice. Success is intoxicating and makes us think I can do it on my own. Failure is humiliating and makes us think I want to work this out on my own. But the problem with both of those extremes is you're trying to do it on your own. Either way you handle the decision, without advice, you'll fail. God says to you this morning, I didn't design for you to handle it on your own. I designed for you to live in community, unique community. I gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. The only way out is to learn to listen. Unplug your ears and open your heart. That's our third truth this morning. In order to unplug your ears, you have to open your heart. See, the problem with blocked ears is actually a problem with the heart. We don't hear because our hearts are hard. That's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 13. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they've closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. And the help you need, the healing you need, is being prevented from coming to you because your heart is hard, your ears are blocked, and you won't listen. Unfortunately, that's what happened to Solomon, the wisest man in the world. People came from all over the world to hear him, but he allowed that to get inside his heart. He became lifted up with pride, and he began ignoring his own advice. He stopped listening to God, stopped listening to wise counsel, and he started to fail. And humility will lead you to wisdom, and wisdom will bring you humility. Wisdom helps to open your eyes so you can understand what God's will is. That's why our scripture text, Ephesians 5:17, says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Wisdom will help you open your eyes and open your heart to understand the will of God. And if you understand God's will, you'll prove it by listening to advice. You'll show it by humbling yourself and asking for help. You'll ask help from God. You'll ask help from others. You'll seek in every decision, every invitation, every opportunity, every relationship. God, what's the wise thing to do? That's why James 3:13 to 17 says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. In order to foolproof your decisions, what's the wise thing to do? Listen. In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do about my decisions? Listen. Listen. Listen to God, for he will use the voices of wise people to guide you and to guard you. Listen, and God will use wise men and women to help you foolproof your life. Listen, and God will help you avoid regret so that you will never again have to say, I should have seen it coming. Unplug your ears, open your heart, listen to God. Admit you need it. Admit you need help. Admit you need him. Seek him. Seek wisdom. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fail, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Or, as we would say here at Agape House, in the multitude of counselors, you will foolproof your life. It's the wise thing to do. Will you be wise? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we know we are so proud. Every one of us, Lord, we care so much about what people think and what people say, how we look, our reputation. And our foolish pride has prevented us from taking advice. We want to do it on our own. When we're successful, we think we can handle it. When we're a failure, we want to solve it ourselves. But I pray that your Spirit will come inside us today. Soften our hearts, open our ears, give us ears to hear, and help us to listen. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to humble ourselves, to realize that no matter how wise we are, no matter what we know, we can't make it on our own. We were never intended to. You've given us pastors, loving church family here at Agape House that can help us, give us counsel, give us advice. So, Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus come and move upon us. Come and help us. Unplug our ears. Open our hearts. Seek wisdom and listen. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's two things I want to advise you to do right now. If you're seeking wise counsel, the church has counsel to help you. At the Welcome Center, you can collect a communication card. Looks like this. Give us your details, your phone number, email address. There at the top, it says, I need counseling. Just tick that. Somebody will call you confidentially this week, no matter what your problem is, will call you and give you wise counsel to help you on your way. The church is here to help you, but you've got to let us. You've got to listen. Secondly, as you heard earlier in the service, we're forming new life groups. We're encouraging our members to get involved in fellowship. And a life group is a small gathering of members of Agape House who meet together weekly or bi-weekly to fellowship and pray with one another, encourage each other, and give each other wise counsel. You can go out in the courtyard and find out more about life groups as a way of learning to listen and engage yourself in the wisdom from those around you. God richly bless you.